From the earliest centuries of the church, the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, body and soul, has been a subject of certainty, of veneration and Christian doctrine. However, there's no direct biblical source for this belief. There's no historical record. There are no witnesses. We don't know the time or the place of the end of Mary's life on earth. And our most faithful source is simply apostolic tradition. When in doubt, trust apostolic tradition. There are references to the apostles' belief in the Assumption and the writings of the fathers of the early church. And finally, after centuries of belief and veneration, just about 60 years ago, Pope Pius XII stated that Mary's Assumption is church dogma. Pope Pius XII wrote that Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. He merely stated as dogmatic truth what the church had believed and taught for almost 2,000 years. And his statement said nothing about whether Mary experienced death the way we understand it. We simply don't know. We do know that this is the same Mary that the Archangel Gabriel appeared to and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." The church teaches only that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, at the completion of her life. Now, the Greek Orthodox Church deals with this with a different vocabulary. It's not contrary in any way, but they talk about the dormition for the belief that Mary did not die, but that she just fell asleep and that was the end. And there is a site in Jerusalem called the shrine or the church of the Dormition. And again, we have no facts. All of this is just veneration. The most important thing is to see that it absolutely has to be true, because it's tied up with what we believe to be true about life and sin and death. You have to go back and understand again the concept of original sin. We don't talk about original sin enough. If we did, a lot of things would be very clear, like the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. First three chapters. Chapters 2 and 3 of Genesis deal with the creation of Adam and Eve, the creation of man, made in the image of God, male and female, he made them. In the image of God, he made him. In his own image, he made them. That's a core belief. God did not create death. God did not create sin. He created Adam and Eve to live with him forever in love, in friendship. That's a core belief of Christianity and of Judaism. They were created in the image of God to live eternally with God. Adam and Eve were our first human parents, and we are completely like them, because there has to be, logic tells you, there was a set of first parents. And they are the first ones, completely and totally human, made in the image of God. They were made without sin, and they were not made to die. So what happened? We have inherited everything from them except one thing. They had eternal life when they were created. We didn't inherit that. And the answer goes back to understanding why they couldn't pass it on to us. And the answer is because they lost it. They had it, but they lost it. Our first parents committed a rebellion. That first sin that we call original sin was a rebellion. They were jealous of God. God had something they wanted more than they wanted God. They didn't really want or love God, but they wanted what he had. He said, you could do anything you want in my creation here in the garden. You can go anywhere, do anything. There's just one thing I'd ask you not to do. Just one thing. Now, through the help of that snake, the devil, they, by their own free choice, this is important to understand, we have inherited free will from our first parents. They were created with free will. Why did God create free will? Because that's the only way anybody can love. Without free will, love is just a joke, an emotion. They were created with free will, and that freedom was to love or not to love, total freedom. And in this one area, they chose rebellion. Now, once they chose to rebel against God, this is not just something like taking a cookie out of the cookie jar. He specifically said, don't do this, or you will die. And what they lost was eternal life. When the snake said, oh, you won't die, he's the master of all lives. And they certainly did die. They didn't want to be with God. They wanted to be separate from him. Remember when God came walking back into the garden and he said, where are you? And they were hiding from him. God didn't withdraw from them. They withdrew from God. Not only did they rebel, then they hid. And he called them out on it. Well, by now it was obvious that they could no longer live with him. And this is the essential part. There is no such thing as eternal life without God. It's not something that exists out there that we're just going to get like a door prize for showing up. There is only eternal life with God. If you are not with God, there is no eternal life. Very important point. So the decision is, with God, you get to live forever. Without God, you're mortal. When the light goes out the last time, it's over. That's the essence of mortal life versus eternal life. You can't have it without him. So every human being born after the fall of Adam and Eve did not inherit eternal life, but only mortal life. Now God spent the next several centuries trying to call them back. And this is what the Old Testament is all about. I love you. Please come back to me. Oh, yeah, I'll come back. And then again, they go out and start worshiping other gods and playing with other religions. And the abandonment, the rebellion continued. But God never intended to give up on us. So he sent his son among us. And the way he sent him was to be totally human. And the only way he could be totally human was to take flesh from a woman. And so God took flesh from Mary. Now, it's an interesting thing about Mary. Mary was no rebel. Mary said, "Be it done unto me according to your will." Mary was born without original sin. Mary was created to never die. If there is no sin, there is no death. What Jesus brought to us was baptism and the sacraments. God always intended to bring us back. His mother is the new Eve. Very important concept from the earliest days of the church. The apostles, the early fathers of the church, understood Mary as the new Eve, the woman who was born without sin, the woman who could not die. And Mary did not die. And that's what this day is all about. It's so interrelated to our own destiny that we have to understand the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary as fulfilling our destiny, the destiny of those of us who share baptism with the church. And what does baptism do? Baptism makes us just like Eve before the fall, just like Mary, so that we can share heaven with Mary. The new Adam was born of the new Eve. The new Adam is Jesus Christ. The two people who become our spiritual parents, Mary and Jesus, the new Eve and the new Adam, death could not conquer them. Now, Jesus chose to take on death for our sins. His mother did not. His mother was given complete, total human life the way God originally intended it to be. That's the Immaculate Conception. She could not die. It's an intricate part of our Christian faith. If we do not understand original sin, then we will have a very hard time with Mary. We'll have a tough time understanding our own salvation or even the sacraments. And I didn't do that, but somebody doesn't want me to do this. The sacraments are critical to understanding original sin. Baptism washes away our original sin and makes us like Eve and Adam before the rebellion. Now, if we sin after baptism, we get to go to confession. You know the power of confession? The power of confession makes you just like the day of your baptism. That's the power of the sacrament of confession. That's a pretty powerful sacrament, to make you just like the day of your baptism. And along the way, we need food for that eternal journey. And guess where we get that? The bread of life. The sacramental life of the church is what gives us life. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the proof that death has been vanquished. Death can have no more power in the kingdom. There is no more death in the kingdom for the baptized. What we're celebrating today is essential to our own triumph over death. That she is the first fruits of what was promised to every one of us. That's the message of our faith. And that's the evangelizing power of feasts like today, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary.